Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's going on? Talking right now with Ryan Waste from Municipal Waste. They have a new album, Electrified Brain. By the time you hear this interview, the album will have been out. You've had a chance to listen to it. It's out on Nuclear Blast. How are you doing today, man? We can see you have quite the record collection behind you. It looks like an awesome layer. Man.
Yeah, I'm home for like 2 days. So, you know, Waste has been out. My other band, Bats, got a gig tonight. And we're actually been doing double duty this last week. So I'm home for like a half a day and then back out on the road, man.
Seems like all you guys do like double and triple duty, man. You guys are some savage bunch of beasts, dude. Playing metal, hardcore, punk, all that stuff.
We can't get enough, man. You know, I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I wasn't busy like that. So,
So home is Richmond for you, right?
Correct.
Awesome. So you said you wouldn't know what to do with yourself, you know, which kind of leads me to a question. I follow Tony on Instagram. Looked like during the pandemic, he got a job at WWE or something.
Yeah, he was down there. I don't think he was wrestling, but he was doing some catering and helping out some cool ass people down there. Yeah, it was a pretty cool gig for him.
What did you do with your time?
I finished writing a script. I've been doing like this heavy metal horror movie I've been working on for the last few years. And actually via Zoom like this, I teamed up with Norman Cabrera, who did our last music video. And we finished the script that I had been working on for years. And actually, you know, gave me the time to sit and focus on it, you know, and it's like we're just nonstop, like I was saying. So, I mean, we even finished writing the record during the pandemic for Waste. I finished one with Bat, my other band. And I mean, you know, it's kind of cool just to like take inventory and be able to focus on, you know, the creative side without having to get on the road. So we use the time wisely.
But you guys are back on the road. I saw you guys play Pig Destroyer and Dwarves in Seattle about a month ago or so. How's it been back on the road, man?
It's great, man. You know, it's everyone's trying to be careful as much as you can, you know, with getting sick. It's a whole new world out there. But, you know, this is what we do. We're going to keep doing it as long as we can. And, you know, we just got back yesterday. So, I mean, it's just been going. It's kind of cool to be – you feel like the energy that people have been having pent up inside of them. And we're one of those bands where we let people let that out on stage. So,
I think it's
a dose of what, you know, the doctor ordered for everybody.
So the thing is we actually have kind of like an embarrassment of riches now with touring. Like everyone's out back on the road. Everyone's zigzagging. Sometimes there's two or three shows, you know, in the big cities. You know, has that presented any difficulties, like having to kind of quote unquote compete with friends or, you know, tour packages?
Yeah, it just happened. Bat was up in New York and Voivod was playing right down the street. And it's like, why can't we just put these shows together?
Right.
But I think New York always has that problem, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. It's just, you know, oversaturated with too much cool happening. But yeah, I mean, you just got to roll with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm, you know, I'm a fan just like anyone else. I want to go see every show at night, but you got to pick and choose, man.
So this album, you know, it's coming out now. Were you guys writing and planning this before the pandemic, or did it just so happen you were just started hunkering down and writing it during?
A little bit of both. I mean, we were already ready to start writing, but then the time just opened up. So I think we got to hone in on it a lot more, whereas we would just kind of bust it out. But this, we got to take our time with, revisit some songs, like actually bring back some old songs and rework them. And then the patience had to set in when we were finished and we sat and waited on like a year and a half just to put it out. Like,
yeah,
it was ready a while ago, but this happens to be the time.
I hear you, man. So, you know, you were mentioning how, you know, your other band Bat, you guys are fairly active, you know, when you're not out on tour with Municipal Waste and whatnot. And members of the other members have Cannabis Corpse, Iron Reagan. How do you focus, or how do you differentiate material that you want to go to what band? Is it hard sometimes? You're like, this is a, or is it fairly pretty common for you to just be like, all right, this is Municipal Waste, this is Bat? Are you able to differentiate those easily?
I mean, obviously I have to, you know, some stuff could interchange, but it's cool to do that. That way you don't really pigeonhole yourself into one sound. Like, we can take chances with both bands. And, you know, I write all the lyrics for Bat. So I actually was able to write some lyrics for some of the Waste songs. And it's just kind of come, I'm in a rhythm, you know, writing. So, you know, I got to write a few, which I always end up writing one or two on each record. But this was like, I'm like in the groove, let's just keep going, you know, and gives Tony a break too. So, you know, musically it's fun to mix it up, but, you know, the fans might be like, oh, that could be either band, but I always know the difference, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Well, the first time I ever saw Municipal Waste, you guys played City Hall in Seattle, and there was like a grand piano right next to you guys. It was pretty crazy event. You guys played with Iron Lung, and it was a very unique experience to see you guys at City Hall with like a grand piano and like this beautiful, you know, show. What's the weirdest venue you can recall Municipal Waste playing?
We should have got Phil on the piano. Phil's a pretty good piano player.
Oh, yeah?
We should have worked that in. Back in the day, if we're going to go weird, like we broke into an abandoned house and ran a generator in Richmond next door to our friend's house called The Compound. It was like a punk house. But we ran a generator, and then we even brought in dry ice into an already like dangerous situation. Like this, it had been burned down, so it was abandoned, and the ceiling was caving in on us like while we were playing. And we really just put everyone at danger at that point, you know. The stairway was breaking, and pretty much we were like, all right, well, we need to make this more evil. And we brought dry ice in and little coolers. I actually have it on video. It's something I need to digitize to preserve, because that was one of the wildest Municipal Waste shows. That, I mean, that's like 2001, like early stuff for us. So that was a pretty fun venue.
If you guys put out like a career retrospective, like, you know, I mean, people aren't really doing DVDs much these days, but Blu-ray or whatever you were to do.
VHS.
There you go.
Hey, VHS people. Everywhere. I don't know if you're videoing this for the radio.
But oh, I am. Yes.
Everywhere, man. I got the whole perimeter surrounded in it. So I like, you know, tangible formats, obviously, if you look around. There's a few tapes over here.
Let's talk about that. You know, I got CDs. Are you okay with CDs, or are you just
buying? I'm okay with CDs, man. Yeah, okay. CDs. You know, I got a 1987 CD player downstairs, and like, I swear, man, like the early ones they're putting out sound incredible. You know,
yes.
I was probably hating on them for a little bit when they would get scratched, but you know, if you go back to them, I'll take that over a freaking MP3, because it's, you know, you want to hear it loud. I'm a vinyl guy, but I'm not gonna hate on CDs, man.
So you guys are releasing the CD on CD Longbox, which is actually pretty cool.
You know, we like that unnecessary. That's actual. Yes. That's real waste. That's real Municipal Waste. Unnecessary cardboard. But I remember getting, you know, all the Slayer albums on CD, and they were in long boxes. I wish I kept those. And it's just a way to, you know, highlight the art and, you know, collector's item, which I think people really, and the people that grew up buying that, you know, it's fun for them to be able to have that again. So, I mean, it's a limited thing, but, you know, I want one for myself.
So if, you know, you had to leave your house suddenly, I'm not going to, you know, jinx it or anything, but if you had to leave your house suddenly, I'm not going to say why, but you know what I'm saying. And you had to grab two records, two or three records from your vinyl collection, which ones would you grab?
All right. Well, I know which ones I spent some money on. This, okay. It might not be. Should I grab them? Should I grab them
if
right
you
now?
Want,
I
got, sure.
I got to get out.
If you know where they are.
Yeah, of course. Let me just grab it. It'll give me a chance to think of the second one because I know the first one.
Sounds good, dude.
All right. So this, let me tilt it out of the plastic. This is an old UK band called Slander.
Okay.
I've never heard of it. Just like a demo LP, but it's a private press from the band.
Wow.
This is like one of those years where 1990, 91, it's a really rough year for vinyl. So there's only 500 made. This thing crushes front to back. This is off the radar for a lot of people. I spent a little money on it. I don't like to spend upwards of a certain amount, but I was like, you know what? I have to have that. So I'm not going to see that record again. That's one that I like front to back. So that would be one of them, man. You're making me really choose. I don't know. It's really, that's like, man, which ones did I spend the loot on? Could it be a tape and a record?
Sure.
I'll grab you my tape.
Sure.
I always rep this movie because I wrote a heavy metal horror movie, and this is the template, as I always say. This is a convex box. So you see this embossed Black Roses, which is, you know, you can find this tape, but it's cool to have this, you know, extracurricular embossed box. But
is that so that's a film?
This is a VHS tape. Yeah, of course, the label's flying off. But yeah, so, I mean, that's one of my favorite movies. You know, I can't just grab a record. I got to have something to watch, too, you know.
Black Roses. Okay.
Right, check it out, man. Yeah, I think it's streaming for people that don't like tapes.
We have a really cool video store. It's called Scarecrow Video up in Seattle that has all kinds of old VHS and, you know, of course, DVD and stuff. But I'll go check that out. Black Roses. Nice.
Yeah, it's a heavy metal horror movie. It's a fun watch.
So speaking of heavy metal horror movie, you kind of teased us. Is there anything you can say about this thing that you wrote the script for?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't released the title yet because I want to patent it and everything, you know, or I keep stuff close, real close to the chest. But like I said, Norman Cabrera is the guy who's, you know, he's done work for Rick Baker since the 80s. So he's the effects guy. But I actually teamed up with him as a partner in writing the movie. And I got to give credit to another guy, Jamie Thompson, who was used to work for The Guardian, an old Scottish like punk rock friend of mine. We actually started writing it together. And then the three of us, you know, during the pandemic got on Zoom and really just revved up the script. Like I thought I had, you know, a good idea to go. And then, you know, you get with two other people and you're bouncing dialogue off of each other and it just raises it to the next level. So I plan to co-direct it with Norman and it'll have like all those old 80s practical effects. My other band Vulture, which is more like traditional heavy metal, we were writing the soundtrack as far back as like 2013 when I first had the idea. So we have some old songs, you know, if you know, like Trick or Treat or, you know, Fast when they did the soundtrack for
Sammy
that.
Kerr.
Yeah. So like, think like that level stuff with the soundtrack rocking the whole time. And, you know, I like anything with any horror movie with a band in it. So I wanted to make that the whole movie, just like nonstop, like heavy metal imagery. But, you know, it's a very dramatic storyline that's supernatural and over the top and dark comedy all mixed in it. So it should be a lot of fun. Very ambitious project if I can actually pull it off. So I just need money. So everyone out there, send me your money. That's all you need.
Troma, hook him up.
They ain't got no money. I know all those guys. Yeah, we need someone luxurious to be an executive producer, and you know, we need $1 million, which is a drop in the bucket in the movie business.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. Well, you're getting us hype, man. That sounds awesome. So if you don't mind, let's, kind of chat about your history of, you know, when you got into music and stuff. Municipal Waste, you know, when I first, you know, came across you guys was like through, I was originally going to see Iron Lung and I saw Municipal Waste and it blew me away. So it kind of come from the underground style of like hardcore punk and metal. What got you into the underground, man?
Well, you know, in Richmond where I live, you know, we do a lot of house shows and basement shows. And I was living at this kind of horrible punk house where a lot of like transient people would come through. And, you know, I was 20 years old, so I kind of welcomed that thing. You get a good group of train hoppers, you're like, oh, yeah, these people are great. And the next thing you know, the word's out that anyone can come to my house and it's getting stolen. I'm punching people out. Kicking them out of my house. you know, just, you know, being a 20-year-old, just delinquent, you know, back when I had the energy to handle that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I had a space behind my house where I did shows.
Nice.
And, you know, DIY shows, you know, I barely could pay the bands, but we had a good time type thing. And there was gear out there because a friend's band practiced out there. They were kind of like a G.G. Allin style band called PCP Roadblock. So I used to go out there and just
PCP jam with PCP Roadblock?
Yeah, I used to go out there and jam with those guys. And I just had a guitar. You know, I was a bass player playing guitar and didn't really know what I was doing. But I would just jam some like kind of metal punk riffs like Accused. And I remember we'd do like Troops of Doom by Sepultura, me and the singer of PCP. And, you know, it just kind of started to form into some songs, and I just kind of got some guys together out on the gear that was out there, and I started writing, you know, what would be Municipal Waste songs, and it was literal trash and piled around us. So I mean, the waste was vibrant back there. You know, there's only thing you could do is hurt yourself, you know, on broken glass back there. So that's where the band came from, you know. Plus that's me cool, seeing man. It written on a trash truck, I was like, man, that's like the most punk metal name you could ever come up with. It's all the trash in the city. I mean, that's what it is.
So what was your first band t-shirt you ever bought as a kid?
Judas Priest.
That nice.
Was my first favorite band. Yeah, I still have it. If we had an hour, I could go through all the old I still have here. Obviously, I keep everything. But me and my brother, you know, we would rent tapes from the library, like, you know, audio cassettes, and then just dub them. You know, that's how I got into all the early stuff, you know.
Nice.
Priest and Slayer, Sabbath, you know, the basics.
You know, so, curious about, you know, you guys are pretty touring, you know, like touring machines. What keeps you kind of motivated to keep hitting the road? Do you love it? Do you love touring?
Of course, man. It's like I said, like when I get home for a day and I just sit around, I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. So it's kind of like you stay on the move kind of thing. Your blood's still pumping. And, you know, that's what just keeps me motivated. I mean, yeah, I get tired, man. But it's like then I start missing it. But we just had a 2-year break without playing gigs. So, I mean,
exactly. You know,
We got the gusto back.
Right on, man. Well, last couple questions here for you, man. And if you could pick a scar on your body and show us if you can.
I can. I got a few.
And tell us the story of how you got it.
You'll love this. All right. So I'm going to go get down here. See this right here?
Oh, yeah. That's like a divot.
Looks like I just got it. So that's in my shin.
Jesus.
Yeah, this leg's fully tattooed. I need to tattoo around that. So that was, it's funny enough, like that band PCP Roadblock I mentioned that used to practice out back of my house. So they couldn't really play any venues, but they got a chance to play this venue called Hole in the Wall. Mm-hmm. And the stage had just been built. So it's like wood splintery stuff. And I'm right up front. And you know, you're up front and you're kind of like getting pushed from the back.
Oh,
my
yeah.
shin just went through this, like, almost, you know, like zombie when the eye gets the splinter in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it felt like the splinter of wood splinter going in there. And I'm, you know, I'm 20 years old and I didn't take care of it. So I had a puncture wound in my shin. There's no meat there. So it was literal, like this hole in my shin. And it was like, could have turned to like gangrene or something. Cause it would just seep. And I would just be, you know, I was living in that same punk house back then. And I was like, you know, and it would just open up and just start draining. Like it could have killed me, you know,
could have gotten MRSA five times over, dude.
Exactly. And it looks like it just happened. So that's, I've had that for 22 years, that scar.
Punk house puncture wound.
Yeah. That's going to be a band. Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for taking the time. Ryan
You're
Waste,
welcome,
of course, from Municipal Waste. The new album, Electrified Brain, is out now on Nuclear Blast. Any final words for the Northwest before we let you go, man?
Yeah, represent Accused. That's our boys up there in Seattle. We just play with them. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Got to give it up for, you know, where it all came from.
Right on. Take it easy, Ryan. Thanks, man.
Take it easy.
Later. Yep. See you, dude.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.